is a sheet there, worship as discipleship. Worship is a way of discipleship. And I want you to know that next week, David is going to be preaching. And don't be conformed, but be transformed. But we truly believe that we are called to be disciples. And how do we become a disciple? How are we disciples? What is it going to take for us to live as disciples? And we're in a process of hearing from Scripture what that means. But first of all, I'd like to take a poll. I'd like to take a poll. So how many people here have flown in a small plane? Okay, who has not flown in a small plane? See, I want you to know that down in the lower 48, this is not normal. Most people have not flown in small planes in the lower 48. They have no idea what an experience is like to be in a small plane, okay? So, and it's really hard. Well, let me throw another one out there. So, living in Alaska and living in the north, but living in Alaska for a lot of years, because I did live in Anchorage, I never experienced a roller coaster. Okay, who here has never experienced a roller coaster? Whoa! Okay, so I thought maybe there'll be many more, but when I went down for my very first time in college, I was able to experience a roller coaster. And I tell you, it's really, really hard to describe to another person what riding on a roller coaster is like. And at the same time, to go down to the lower 48 and tell people what it's like to fly in a small plane, it's difficult unless they have that experience. Now, today, we're going to be talking about picking up a cross. Now, who here, I'm pretty sure there's maybe one or two or three, who here has picked up a cross and carried it before? Just two of us. Three, okay, yeah. Four. To experience lifting up a cross and carrying it, it's very difficult for us to share that experience unless you have been there. And I'll try to share that because I did, and it was an overwhelming experience. And as we talk about this in the scripture here today, I'll share you with a little about what was happening to me as I was picking and carrying that cross. So we've been looking at a worship series, a sermon series about worship. And as you know, we had a special workshop, an amazing workshop, and it's Go Make Disciples. And I want you to know that'll be the recurring theme that we'll have for the next 6, 7, 8 months. It's the idea, who are we called to do, what we are called to do. And remember last week I said go. Go is to go out into the world and make friends. Connect with a people group. Get to know them. Get out of your comfort zone and get to know non-believers, wherever that may be. It might be, you know, coaching kids. It might be connecting to a club. It might be joining a class. But connect with people who are non-believers and just make friends. People want friendship. Make, okay, is a very important part of it. Make is when you hear the opportunity that the Holy Spirit gives you, is to share the good news. Many people, all people, struggle through brokenheartedness. They've been broken. And there's times in your life, as you get to know them, they will share something in their life. And as they do that, be led by the Spirit to share God's love for them. It's amazing how that works. Many, many times in my life with a non-believer, when you start listening and allowing for the Holy Spirit to guide you, suddenly you're able to listen to their concern, and before you know, you have a connection. Then disciples, God has created us for a reason and has redeemed us for a reason. He wants children. And a part of that being a child is that God is providing us to become disciples. He truly wants us to grow. We want our children to grow. We want our children who are 6, 7, 8 years old grow when they're 16, 17 to drive a car. We will not give them a car when they're 6 years old, but they will be mature at a time in their life where they can do that. And many things in their life, we want them to be responsible. In the same way, God wants us to grow, wants us to mature, expects us to mature, because in maturity, we take on responsibility, but also there is a blessing that comes with us when it comes to maturing. So worship is a way of discipleship. See, we have kind of put worship in a slot. We think worship is Sunday morning. We think we get together for 2 hours this morning, but 2 hours, And we get together and we think that we are doing worship. And we are doing worship. But see, worship is a microscopic event that God wants us to live all week. So we think that we can come here on a Sunday morning, do our hour and 15, 20, half an hour, and we think that's enough. That is my duty. I am doing the worship. It's something that's been a part of me. It's something that says I'm doing good. But God says, no, worship here is a beautiful example of how you should live your life throughout the week. We're learning about that. So think about worship. Worship is about God inviting us. This idea that we invite God here, forget that. That's bad theology. No, God invites us here. God invites us into a living presence. Every day of the week, God is inviting us to recognize that his presence is right there. He is with us. Sometimes we overlook that invitation, but God is reminding us through the Holy Spirit that God is alive, God is here throughout the week. Not only that, we respond to his presence. We respond to his living presence. We are led by the Holy Spirit to hear the word that's been planted in our heart when it comes to responding to things in our life. The same way worship is, we don't come here to fulfill a duty. We walk into these chambers, into this place, expecting to hear from God. If we don't have that attitude, then this is a boring place. This place is not going to meet your spiritual needs. But if you walk in here saying, God, you've invited me here. I'm here, I'm responding to your living presence, I'm going to listen to you, I'm going to respond to you through music, through prayer. When I pray, when another person's praying, I will pray with that person. I'm not going to sit back and be a passive prayer. God wants us to be active in the whole hour and a half that we have here. As we connect through this, as we live that out through this hour and a half, 2 hours, that we are getting an example of how we should live our life. God loves us. God loves our presence. God created us for that. So worship is discipleship. When God is making us disciples, he's helping us through the process of worship. And we learned last week that your spiritual act of worship is to be a living sacrifice. Okay? That when we are living sacrifice, when we give up our lives, that we are now becoming a spiritual person. We are worshiping. So we're going to look at this, and we're going to look at something else. So the question is, what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? We heard that last week. A living sacrifice. A disciple, a living sacrifice. And we'll explain that a little bit. But here it is. Jesus explains to us what it means to be a living sacrifice. And he gives us some very good words. Let me read them back to you. And he said to all, if anyone come after me, now, you have decided, we have decided to follow Jesus Christ. We have. Baptism, when you were baptized as a baby, as an adult, when you confirmed that baptism, basically you said, my allegiance, that's what a sacrament is, my allegiance is to Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying to you, and we're listening, I want you to follow me. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to follow me, this is what's going to happen. Let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. Whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man or woman if he gains or she gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Jesus Christ said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to pick up the cross. That is just a part of following me. If you're not going to follow me, if you don't want to pick up the cross, if you don't want to deny yourself, then you're not following me. You're just have these nice little Christian quotes around your life. I'm a Christian. No, it means following, denying myself, picking up the cross. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, denial, that word deny, means self-denial. So I knew before I was a Christian what it was to live for myself. I knew what it was like to live for sin. All I cared about was myself and the pleasures that come with sin. I lived for myself. I worked for myself. I did things for myself. When I became a Christian, suddenly that changes. I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm living for God. So it's self-denial. It's understanding that we have sinful, prideful nature in our lives that says that I want to live for myself, but Jesus Christ says you have to give up yourself. If you truly want to be a disciple, if you truly want to experience the blessings of what it means to be a son or daughter, you have to deny yourself. Let me read you a quote. Self-denial, then, is intentionally disowning of the self or stepping away from relationship with the self as primary. Jesus is not making a statement about whether the self is bad. Self is good. God says we are to love ourselves as we love our neighbors. But about who we are most closely associated with. Who is our primary allegiance to him or ourselves? And we know how selfish we can get. We know how we want it. How many times in life we determine that I'm going to get it my way. We did whatever we can to manipulate a situation so it will happen to me. I will get it. God says, I'm in a process of helping you to deny that and have an allegiance to me. So this is the process of denying yourself. Now, here is a story that we heard earlier as we read it about Ruth. A story that you rarely, you know, you heard about, but kind of really not understand what happened here. Ruth, again, was married to one of the sons of Naomi. Okay? And also Orpah, not her name, is Orpah. They were both married, and calamity hit that area where they were living at. And Naomi lost both her sons as well as the husbands of Orpah and Ruth. And so here, Naomi is coming back. She heard about going back. There is some blessings. There's ways to live in a different place, Joab. And she's going back to her land. And she turns to her sister, daughters-in-law, and says, hey, you don't have to go with me. But in fact, it's probably better for you to go back to your families and to your gods. Because life has been really rough. Life has been really hard. You lost your husbands. So go back. Go back. But Ruth wants nothing of this. See, she experienced the grace and love of God through Naomi, through those sons. She lived a whole different life separated from the gods that she grew up with, from the culture she grew up with. She experienced all of that. Now she's been asked to go ahead, either go that way or she decided no. In fact, Naomi didn't even give her a chance. She didn't give her a choice. She said, just go. But Ruth says, no, I'm going with you. And I love the way that she presented herself. Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also to, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Here is Ruth, who has completely given up herself, who said, I'm going to align myself with your God, Naomi. I will follow and I will commit himself. That is denying a person's self and their gods and their family. I'm getting kind of loud here, am I? Little excited. So Jesus, let me kind of tone it down a little bit. So Jesus says that if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Self-denial. And I think all of us sit back and we can really think of ourselves and we can see how selfish we are. We can see how we want it our way. We can see how if I were to walk in your house, we want certain things certain done certain way. I mean, there's so many things that we kind of think that we have control because it really pleases yourself. But God says, I want you to deny yourself. I want you to follow me and deny yourself. So what is a cross? Pick up that cross. Another thing, as I shared earlier, it's hard to experience that. Now, a cross with its being, a real cross with its being, is between 200 and 250 pounds. Right, David? It's huge. It's heavy. Okay. Now, I am sort of a mid-strong person. Okay, what I do is I like lifting weights. That's just my little hobby. Now, I had a chance 5 years ago just to lift a cross that big. 250 pounds on me when I lift it is not that, is doable. I do that in squats. So I get this cross on me, and I wanted to go ahead and lift this thing and drag this thing myself just to see what would it be like, okay? We were had an alliance of churches on Good Friday, and we decided to go ahead and take a cross, and we were going to go to one church, and we're going to have the words of Jesus Christ, lad's words of Jesus Christ, at these churches. So we carried this church through the town. So I said, let me take care of it. My arrogance. Yeah. I'm strong. Let me try it. So I carried that cross, 200, 225 pounds. It wasn't 250, but 200. And I carried that. And that thing was on my shoulder. And I remember walking. Okay? And when I was walking, suddenly your whole body is responding to this cross. First of all, you could feel the wood. You can feel that thing pressing into your shoulder, not only into your shoulder, into your neck. There is pain coming from there. Then as I'm walking, I'm dragging this. And I could do it. I could drag it for a bit. But suddenly your body, your legs starts to burn, and they start to scream. Your legs are sore. Your body is sore. Then, guess what happens? Your heart starts beating real fast. Okay, your lungs start filling. And you're doing this, and you're going, good night. Okay, I could do it for a short period of time, but after a while, this thing was going to tear me up, and I was going to drop this thing. There's no way I could lift that cross for a certain amount of period, especially from a church to a church. What made it happen was another person came by and we lifted the cross together. Still hard, but not as hard as doing it yourself. It is an experience. It is a hard experience. And God, Jesus Christ, wants us to see that lifting up your cross is not something easy. It is not something easy to follow Jesus Christ. He's reminding us what it means to follow Christ. There is a type of suffering that happens as Christians. When you live for God, when you live for those values, when you stand for Jesus, when you sit there and support certain things in your life that you know are right, you're going to be persecuted for those. Especially this time now. I don't know if you ever see what happens in the media when a Christian starts to share their values and try to explain their values. They are attacked tremendously. You know, support for the unborn. I'm very fervent about that. But I've also been greatly attacked by that. Certain family values. Certain values and with regard to how do we take care of the poor, how do we take care of the orphans, how we should take care of them, we should provide them with dignity. How do we take care of those that are out on the street that are homeless? We respond to them in dignity and with love and with care. There's many people that don't do that. They see these people as getting in the way. God says you have a different value system and you will be persecuted because when you pick up the cross, you're going to experience some type of suffering, okay? And you sit back going, I don't like this right now. Denying myself, picking up the cross suffering. I don't know what I got myself into. I don't know if I can really find myself doing this. Well, let me share with you an application that we can learn from today. The spiritual act of worship is to deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily and following Jesus. We talked about a living sacrifice. And a living sacrifice is what is a reasonable act of worship. We found this out. Paul speaks of this. Jesus affirms that. And I want you to know that when you are sacrificing your life, when you have a true commitment to someone, you will be sacrificing parts of your life. You know that. I think some of you have met Cynthia before. And she'll be up here in October. Matter of fact, November. I got tickets for her for November 2nd, for the first weekend, and then November. And I love showing her up. But I just want you to know that marriage is hard. It is hard. And anybody thinking they walk into marriage is not going to be hard. It is stinking hard. It's one of the hardest things that I've ever done in my life. Because the sacrifices that I had to make as an individual, giving up myself, giving up the things that I want to do, is hard, is very difficult. But was it worth it? You better believe it. It was worth it. But to really commit to somebody, to really to follow someone, it's going to be sacrifices. And Jesus Christ is saying that, yes, it will be sacrifice when you deny yourself. Yes, it will be sacrifice when you pick up the cross. But it is worth it. It is absolutely worth it. To deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. A spiritual act of worship. To deny ourselves and take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. Now, I want to use somebody as an illustration because I've been witnessing him for almost 2 years. That's David Buher, your beloved youth director. And he's been, I don't know if you know it, but he's been trying to get his MDiv, Master of Divinity. Right? And he's been doing this while working a full time. He's been doing this in a marriage to Brenna. Marriage. He's been doing this, taking care of his dog. I mean, I've seen the sacrifices that David was going through. It is not easy to go through. MDiv, first of all, is rough. Now, their classes and some of the subjects are awesome. They're there, and you just kind of soak it up, and you go, yeah, this is so good. But still, it's a sacrifice of time. It's a sacrifice of study. And I've seen him take those sacrifices, especially at finals week, especially when he has to do a paper. Oh, good night. Oh, it's rough. Amen. But is it worth it? He'll be graduating soon. After this is his last semester. And by December, he'll be done. And he'll sit back, and again, he'll repeat, it is worth it. But I want you to know that I've seen David, and I've seen the sacrifices it took for him to do this. So, self-denial is not something you just periodically practice. It is something that happens every day. It's a life in which we are surrendering him and ourselves every day. We examine our motives. We sit ourselves, is this selfish? What I'm doing, do I need to give this up? And God, we are denying ourselves. I tell you, I am becoming close to being the perfect Christian person there is. Please laugh at that. But I do know where I've came from. I do know what I was like before I was a Christian and what I was like the years of Christian. I do know. Okay? And for me to get here, I think for everybody to get where we're at with our maturity has to do with the fact that you have denied yourself in so many different ways. Second, a right understanding of the self is necessary for discipleship. You have to understand yourself. You have to really understand that you're selfish, you're prideful, you want it your way. You have to examine those motives. You have to examine those selfish desires. You have to look at the sinfulness that is still there, and you have to be honest with yourself. If you're not honest with yourself, then you're not going to allow for the Holy Spirit to transform you. You can't do that in a marriage. You have to be honest with each other. And I tell you many, many times, Cynthia was very honest with me. And things had to change. Things had to change. And they have. And here's the hard one. Discipleship is extreme. I'm not going to mess around with that. It is hard. Are you putting on that cross? And you feel the weariness. You'll feel the suffering that comes from it. But is it worth it? Absolutely. There's nothing better in this world being in God's Holy Spirit to transform you to become the person who you are. You'll have such an amazing understanding of the love of Father that is so profound. You'll have such an amazing understanding of who you are and what you can do. You'll have such an amazing understanding of the purpose that you have in your life because you do it for God. It is the best thing in this world. But as we know as Christians, our self gets in the way still. That's where God's mercy, that's where God's grace. Oh gosh, His mercies are new every morning. You know this. You know it. Every morning, His mercy and His grace. He doesn't sit there and says, you failure. He says, no, you are denying yourself. You are growing. You're picking up that cross, and you're doing it because I've given you the Holy Spirit, and you're not doing it by yourself. So I hope taking up the cross may seem a little different this morning. I hope that it is very understandable that it's hard. I hope that you understand that you can't do it by yourself. But guess what? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Yes, it is. It is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus' word that reminds us that he wants us to follow you, and he told us how we should, to deny ourselves, to pick up the cross, to be living sacrifices. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.